the early and the latter rain. Last week we mentioned these two rains. This week we are going to think about them in even greater detail. The second chapter of Joel should be carefully studied. The marginal reading, early and former rain, is teacher of righteousness. The word for teacher and the word for rain come from the same root. More means teacher. It comes from the root verb to see, ra'a. It's one who discerns. It's one who sees. Now, in what sense was the early rain a teacher? Well, when it softened the summer-baked fields, it taught the farmer that the time had come to break up the fallow ground and to sow the winter wheat. It was a teacher to the farmer. And so the early rain is a teacher of righteousness. The Holy Spirit from without comes to bear within the human thinking, within the human personality, with ideas of instruction. Investigate this. Look out for this. Learn about this. Go call so-and-so. Read so-and-so. Now the Holy Spirit works right at that juncture and will bring that seeking person in contact with an Ananias. In the case of the Hardings, my mother and father were brought in contact with the Adventist through a call porter. He came right at the precise time of need. Wasn't in a religious garb, it was for vegetarianism. But he came at the right time, with the right kind of message. And as my mother followed that up, the whole vista of Seventh-day Adventist Christianity gradually opened out before the mind of the family. The latter rain is the harvesting rain. It causes the fruit to swell, to ripen, prepared for the sickle. These are externals to the seed. They're external to the crop and to the farmer. They are operations, the early and the latter rain literally, of nature. And so the operation of the spiritual early and latter rain is a function from heaven outside human activity, but prompts and teaches and guides and instructs human instrumentalities. Part number one, historic early rain. Now, as far as the Christian church was concerned, the seed was sowed on Pentecost. I think sometime the seed was sown earlier. John the Baptist and Christ were the first sowers of seed. But as far as the building of the church after the ascension, the historic early rain was Pentecost. Read carefully the story in Acts, especially with the quotations from Joel and Joel 2. And you will find, if you read the King James Version in both, that the New Testament makes a subtle difference. Peter, quoting Joel, says, "I will pour out of my Spirit." That's Acts 2. In Joel 2, "I will pour out my Spirit." Now, "of my Spirit" is partial. It's a portion of the Spirit. Joel's prediction included Pentecost, but looked beyond Pentecost, to the time when, in the fullness of the purpose of God, the Holy Spirit would be poured out without measure. Pentecost was the anniversary of the giving of the law, when God wrote with his finger on two tables of stone on Sinai. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is the writing of the law of God on the fleshly table of our hearts. There was a Pentecost for the Christian church 1900 years ago. There was a Pentecost in the 1844 movements in which the Spirit of God was poured out and helped the seed to germinate that will bring the harvest of Seventh-day Adventist Christianity to fruition. There is an early rain in every Christian's experience. So the function of the early rain should not be tied to time, but to beginnings. Beginnings of churches, beginnings of individual experience, beginnings of great movements. Part number two, promise of the latter rain. Now the latter rain, too, should not be tied too tightly to time. There was a latter rain for the generation that listened to Peter on the day of Pentecost. There was a latter rain that ripened the apostles before they died. There was a latter rain that worked in the experiences of the early Adventist believers who long ago have gone to their rest. Each one of them had to experience the early and the latter rain. So in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there was an early rain, and there will be a final latter rain. In Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, we are told about Christ's resurrection on the third day, and following it, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, The resurrection of Jesus Christ always precedes the indwelling of the Spirit. See, the Passover, Calvary, preceded Pentecost. And we must sense, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the merits of a dying, resurrected Savior before we can appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. Now for the final teleological, eschatological, last day application, there are signs that will tell us that sun, moon, and stars, which have already taken place, are the signs of the end, that the time for the ripening of earth's harvest through the ministry of the Holy Spirit is right upon us. And so when we read the signs of the times today, we must say to ourselves, the end is drawing near. The end is drawing near. Lord, give me the Spirit. If I haven't brought forth the fruit yet, help me before it's too late. Fill the vessel with oil, lest the lamp go out. So inspiration ties the final eschatological latter rain to time to add urgency to our needs of constant readiness to be infused and filled by the Holy Spirit. Part number three, the purpose of the latter rain. The purpose of the latter rain is to ripen the fruit, to ripen earth's harvest, to enlighten the world with glory. Revelation 18. The glory of God, whole earth is filled with His glory, is the glory of self-sacrificing love. As my people exhibit self-sacrificing love, they show forth His glory. The work that has been sowed in tears will be reaped in joy. The purpose of the latter rain, then, individually, as far as churches are concerned, and finally as far as the end time is concerned, is to ripen the harvest and bring to consummation the work of the early and the winter rains. Part number four, the importance of the latter rain. As we have stressed, without the latter rain, there will be no ripening crop. It's absolutely vital, therefore, that those of us who have started a good work, who have permitted the seed that was sown in our hearts to grow up, to ensure that we do not move away from the falling latter rain at the time it should come upon us. And so the prophet bids us ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Now that time may be today for me. I can't guarantee tomorrow. I can't guarantee next week. Is there any fruit in my life that needs to be ripened today? I must therefore pray, Lord, if this is the time for me, grant me the latter rain in the time of the latter rain. In order to ask, Joel tells us, we should turn to God with all our hearts, give him the total will, out of it are the issues of life. Say, Lord, here is my life, here are all the issues, take me. With fasting, this word means control, control of the appetites and passions. With weeping, this is used in the scriptures for sorrow for sin, for mourning that we have not done what we ought to have done. We are to rend our hearts inwardly and not outwardly. And we are to turn to God, who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, very kind, and is willing and ready to give us his Spirit. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to, Ellen White says, as in the future. But it is the privilege of the church to have it now. Each generation, each individual must have the Holy Spirit right now, or he is not fulfilling the divine design. Let's take our eyes away from some great last day event and ensure by deliberate focus that the early and the latter rain are functioning in our personalities today. Part number 5, reason for delay. This statement gives me some measure of disquiet. In Desire of Ages, page 32, Ellen White says, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Let's not be among the wicked servants who say, My Lord, it delayeth his coming. He knows the day and the hour. His purposes know no haste and no delay. What we must do, while God's mercy is lingering, while God's willingness is still here, while probation is open to us, to have our hearts given to God, to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ. Part number 6, early and latter rain experience. This summarizes all we've tried to say. Just as the earth brings forth blade, ear, full corn, so our Christian experience must develop at every stage. The Spirit begins. Without the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Without the Spirit, we cannot enter in the pathway. Without the Spirit, we cannot walk along the pathway. The Holy Spirit has started us. The fact that we are studying this lesson indicates that the early rain has fallen and brought forth fruit. Then, through the winter months in Palestine, the winter rains continue sporadically. The plant germinates, the crop forms. November, December, January, February, March, occasionally the winter rain falls. But then comes the late spring and the time of the harvest. The final latter rain brings everything to completion. So as we think of this figure of speech, the early and the winter and the latter rain, we are to think that the Holy Spirit functions within us at every stage of our development. In some areas we may be just allowing the seed to germinate, while other areas of our lives might be bringing forth fruit right to the harvest. Let us pray as David prayed, Lord, search me, try my ways, show me if there be any wicked way in me. And day by day, joyously, as in his kindness he reveals them, take hold of his power, break off, and put on what he wants us to do. Work out our own salvation, remembering that it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his pleasure. These are the objectives of the Holy Spirit, represented by the early and the latter rain.